Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. The topic I'll be discussing today is relationship codependency, the curable addiction. Excuse me. Roughly 100 million Americans suffer the effects of codependency today. Relationship codependency is often referred to as the white knight syndrome. Codependency is a commonly and loosely used term that we often hear, but many of us do not know exactly what it means. Within the context of addiction, there are three types of codependency: the enablers, the persecutors, and the victims. Throughout a codependent's relationship with the focus of their addiction, they will play all three parts, whether simultaneously or separately. I tell my own story of my tangled web of codependency in my memoir, Finally, My Story of Hope, Love, and Destiny. So, what is codependency? Codependency in general is the relationship that exists between everyone and everything. In order to live emotionally healthy lives, we must all have relationships. The type of codependency I am discussing today is the kind of relationships one seeks out and engages in for reasons that are emotionally unhealthy. Codependency can be, and usually is, a debilitating addiction. It is, in essence, toxic love. It's like the time I had accidentally found a syringe that my husband, who, by the way, became my ex-husband and has since died, had hidden in a kitchen cabinet. Because he had led me to believe he was clean and sober, the shock of seeing that needle sent me spiraling into panic. Frenzied after I'd fervently obsessed for hours because he hadn't been home when I had found the earth-shattering evidence, I confronted him, brandishing the evidence in my hand as he walked through the front door. He remained unflappably calm and gave me his usual lame excuse. "I'm not using. I just crave the feeling of the needle, but only shot up water." I wanted to believe him. To not believe him would have destroyed my world. But the evidence spoke for itself. Any way I looked at it, the thought of him sticking a needle in his vein was sickening and disturbing. Though I was devastated by the betrayal and overcome with my own pain, I immediately shifted into codependent mode. I told myself that I was much stronger than he was. I'd be okay. It was him I had to worry about. I told myself that I'd just have to try harder to keep him happy. And I believed that if I loved him more and proved my devotion, he wouldn't use again. At the time, that all made perfect sense to me. That's what I mean when I talk about a toxic relationship. A codependent person has a psychological addiction to painful, frustrating, and unequal relationships. Codependents will often put others' needs before their own, while ignoring or discounting their own feelings, their own desires, and their own needs. They are rescuers. The codependent person is drawn to those who lack stability and or act irresponsibly in a particular area of their life because they have a compulsive need to help, nurture, and or control others. They are always looking for the potential in others rather than accepting others as they truly are. The codependent person becomes addicted to hope that the other person will change beyond all evidence or rationale. They will often focus on these types of relationships as a way to avoid dealing with the problems in their own lives. Now that we have a better understanding of what codependency is, how does someone develop this disorder? The emotional disorder of codependency begins in childhood and develops over a period of several years. Often as a child, they had been subjected to dysfunctional family dynamics such as repeated anger, extreme rigidity, violence, manipulation, and/or abuse in the home. These detrimental assaults often occurred in secrecy and behind closed doors. The unpredictable behavior of the parents and the constant chaos and turmoil made the child feel unsafe and their world feel unstable. It was high drama, crisis living all the time. As a result, the child may repress their feelings, not develop healthy coping skills. As a child, they had discovered that their compliancy and overpleasing were effective in placating their parents or guardians. They were always performing. That was how they coped. But it soon became a pattern of behavior. In another scenario, there may have been a parent in the family with substance abuse or other addictions. The emotionally developing child may have found his or herself in an inappropriate caretaking role. Whatever the case, in time, that child's self-esteem became entirely dependent on the unpredictable and ever-changing moods of their parents and guardians. A child in this case never develops a clear sense of who they are as individuals. And because of unhealthy family relationships, the child never learns healthy emotional boundaries between themselves and others. They find that as adults, they are dependent on others to tell them who they are. Children take these distorted survival strategies into adulthood. This kind of upbringing plays a vital part in what that person believes they are deserving of in life as an adult. I mentioned the term emotional boundaries, but what exactly are they? Emotional boundaries are the appropriate and protective borders that exist between us and others. They give us the confidence to set the bar to how we expect others to treat us. I had never heard the term boundaries used in this context until I was in so much pain that I went for professional therapy. When my therapist first explained that all the emotional turmoil I was suffering stemmed from boundary issues, I was totally confused. Over time, it began to make sense. It was not an easy thing to change. But in the end, my life changed in wonderful ways I could never have imagined. When a child grows up in a healthy family, They are helped and encouraged by their parents to individuate, to develop a separate self-contact concept, to be a unique individual within their family. We learn about our boundaries by the way we are treated as children. When our boundaries are healthy, we recognize the difference between intimacy and enmeshment. We have defined ideas of how we expect others to treat us. The more developed and defined our boundaries are, the clearer our sense of self is. When our boundaries are healthy and flexible, we are able to use our discretion about what feels right and what doesn't. If our boundaries are too rigid, we may withhold closeness to others, will not express our feelings or let our emotions show. We may project the appearance that we are overly self-sufficient. When our boundaries are too loose, our life is one of chaos and drama. We give too much of ourselves to others and feel overly responsible for their lives. We say yes when we really want to say no. We are overly empathetic, absorb the feelings of others. We do not want our emotional walls to be too high or too low. We want them to fluctuate appropriately. So how do those on the outside looking in recognize codependency in someone else? Some of the nicest people we will ever meet are codependent. They are great friends to have because they are understanding, helpful, and likable. They strive to please everyone in their life because they believe that others only like them when they do. At first glance, they appear to be happy. But that is merely a facade. The mantra for the codependent is, love conquers all. They may go from relationship to relationship thinking, if he or she would only change, this would be the perfect relationship, the one I've always dreamed of. But it never is. In relationship addiction, the codependent feels like they have to be in a relationship in order to feel good about his or herself. They may use their sexuality as a way to feel accepted. The codependent person will deny and rationalize away the obvious, believing that if they love their partner enough, that person will change. We may hear them making excuses for others by saying things like, he is really trying to change. She didn't mean to hurt me. He really does love me. She had a painful past and is doing the best she can do. When I was in my codependent relationship with an addict, I said all those words and believed them. Over time, the codependent becomes emotionally dependent on their significant other and obsessed with their partner's needs and problems. They may become overly empathetic, obsessed with the pain and suffering of their partner, and feeling the need to sacrifice themselves. When they fail to make their partner happy or change their partner's self-defeating behaviors after all their efforts, the codependent blames his or herself for not trying hard enough or not loving that person enough. The codependent person then tries even harder to fix the problem. It is a downward spiral. Many codependents have what is called a cross addiction. In addition to their obsession with another, they may also abuse drugs, alcohol, shopping, or food themselves. I am going to take a brief 1-minute intermission. Here is a beautiful musical interlude by guitarist David Modica for your listening pleasure. I'll be right back. Welcome back to today's discussion, Relationship Codependency, the Curable Addiction. How do we know if we are suffering from codependency? What feelings does the codependent person experience? Codependency becomes evident when we begin to experience adult relationships. It may be a health risk because codependent people, especially women, often end up in abusive relationships. Old childhood patterns may interfere with the person's ability to form healthy relationships. They fear vulnerability. They may feel undeserving, that they are not worthy of having others meet their needs. They are loyal to those who don't deserve it. They believe that they must earn love to get it. They fear that if they don't measure up to others' expectations, they will be abandoned. Their fear of anger or rejection largely determines their actions and reactions. They see themselves as caregivers, not care receivers. When they do attempt to stand up for themselves, they feel guilty because they are taking rather than giving. Often they feel like they don't deserve a better relationship than they already have, fear giving up the false security it provides them, and have resigned themselves to always settling for second best. At the same time that they are feeling all these insecurities, the codependent person may become angry because they are also feeling used and unappreciated by those they are trying desperately to help. They become trapped in a maze of heartbreaking confusion and disappointment, and they end up anxious, depressed, and even suicidal as a result. The codependent person does not know that love is not supposed to be painful. I grew up in a confusing, angry home where my parents fought constantly, and then would tell my sisters and me how much they loved each other. Somewhere along the line, that twisted message translated into my psyche to love hurts. I honestly believed that true love was supposed to be painful. Crazy as it seems, even to me now, I thought that pain proved the depth of a couple's loving commitment to each other. Believing that we have to have another person in our life in order to survive is an addiction. We are using the other person as our drug. That is not a loving behavior. It is parasitic neediness. These behaviors can prevent us from finding peace and happiness with the most important person in our lives, ourselves. We know that codependency is emotionally unhealthy. How does our codependent behavior negatively impact others? The codependent person must learn to get their emotional needs met without making others dependent on them. Our codependent behavior can be very damaging to others. For one thing, we end up isolating ourselves. Codependency fosters our withdrawal from friends and family. We become reclusive because we don't want others to know the truth about the life we are leading. If our partner is abusive, they may encourage or force us to isolate. So after excluding everyone from our life because of our toxic obsession with the object of our affection, many other healthy relationships are lost. In the case of our unhealthy attachment to those with addiction problems, our actions may serve to enable their addictions, keep them on a destructive course, and keep them from getting the help they need. We do for others what they should be doing for themselves by making excuses, covering up for them, bailing them out of trouble, giving them money. With a codependent around, the addict never has to face the consequences of their choices. A good rule of thumb is to remember that helping is doing something for someone that they are not capable of doing themselves. Enabling is doing for someone things that they could and should be doing themselves. Recognizing that our codependency is a significant factor in our problems is the first step in the recovery of both the addict and the codependent partner. On the other side of the coin, codependent behavior can drive away those that truly care about us. When others show us healthy love and try to build us up, the codependent person will often refuse to allow themselves to buy into it and therefore reject any attempts for others to show them authentic kindness. Where do we seek help? This is a mental health issue. Unless we acknowledge what our problem is and the part we play in all our bad relationships, we will repeat the pattern over and over. As I explained earlier, this is a pattern that begins in childhood, but the first step in recovery is to deal with present patterns first. A good place to start is to seek the support and fellowship of 12-step groups like Naranon, Al-Anon, or CODA. There you will find others whom you can relate to, others who have walked or are still walking in your shoes. You can remain anonymous and trust that nothing you say will ever be shared outside the confines of those meetings. That support is invaluable. These groups reinforce and remind us on a regular basis that we did not cause the other person's problem, we cannot control it, and we cannot fix it. We learn that no matter what our partner does, we have to heal ourselves. Before we save the world, we have to save ourselves. Once we become mindful of our present patterns, professional therapy may be necessary to heal the childhood pain. Treatment often involves exploration into early childhood issues and their relationship to current destructive behavior patterns. There are wonderful books with great insight that you can read, like Codependent No More by Melody Beattie and Women Who Love Too Much by Robin Norwood. In my book, Finally, I candidly describe firsthand how my unhealthy codependent patterns formed in childhood. Then I specifically show how the codependency experience develops. The reader gets to see me go through it and come out victorious in the end. Whatever method we choose to help us through this difficult process, the important thing to remember is that it will take time, support, and patience. Be kind, gentle, and forgiving with yourself while you stumble through this process of healing. Remember, if you want healthy relationships, you have to first be healthy yourself. Can codependency really be cured? Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." Codependency is an addiction, but unlike many other types of addictions, there is absolutely hope for a cure. Recovery is about learning to establish healthy boundaries in all areas of our life. The fact that you are giving up your job as a people pleaser does not make you a selfish person. Let the people in your life know that you are changing your ways. People that are used to the old you will have a hard time adjusting to the new you, someone who now sets limits. Some people will tell you how mean you are and how much you don't care. Anger is a technique that many people use to intimidate and manipulate others when they don't get their way. People get used to the dynamics of a relationship they know and may not readily accept change. Stand your ground calmly, firmly, and without your old knee-jerk reactions. You do not need people in your life who disrespect your boundaries. Over time, you will know who these people are and filter them out of your life. This healing process takes reflection and determination. I believe that a solid spiritual foundation, whether through religion or of your own design, is detrimental to the healing process. When you heal, you will be able to embrace positive feelings like love, happiness, and fulfillment. People find freedom and serenity in their recovery. You will give when you want to give, not out of insecurity or the expectation of others. In closing, many people enjoy helping and caring for others. The thing to remember in all our relationships is that there should always be balance and compromise. We can learn to depend on ourselves. Maybe other people haven't been there for us, but we can start being there for us. We can reparent our wounded, frightened inner child. A solid spiritual foundation will give us the emotional security, dependability, and constant support that will carry us through life's ups and downs. Happiness is absolutely attainable. I hope you enjoyed the show today and found meaning in the topic that you can apply to your own life. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, May 5th, at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, as I discuss the topic, faith and spirituality, what they are, how they are different, and why they are both important in our lives. All my live shows will be archived and can be listened to at your earliest convenience on Blog Talk Radio or iTunes. Please feel free to contact me with your comments and questions at finerandi@hotmail.com. That's finerandi@hotmail.com. To learn more about my memoir, Finally, please visit my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is radio show host and author, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's randigfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.